We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
In 2003, Nike signed 13-year-old Freddie Adu to a seven-figure contract. But Freddie didn't live up to the hype. He has turned down every single documentary project looking closely at the details of his career. Until now.
People are going to look at everything you did because of the hype surrounding your arrival and what they think you can be.
I'm Grant Wall, and this is American Prodigy, Freddie Adu, from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Hey everyone, before we get into today's pod, I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take their podcast to the next level, or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to our community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. On top of all that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple News, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all the other listening platforms. The best part is you can get all of this for only $15 a month. That's the same rate any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance into this program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box in this episode to find out more, but it's bwhustle.com/join.
Blue Wire.
The Chicago Bulls select Kobe White.
LaVine with the runway, lays it in! Zach LaVine does it again!
A late shot on the rim.
The finisher, Lauri Markkanen!
The crossover, LaVine!
Get it up or get out the way, Trae Young!
Welcome to Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We're brought to you by the Blue Wire Network. We're brought to you by Indeed and Bet Online. I'm Ricky O'Donnell. I'm here with Jason Pat. Jason, we are recording this podcast only minutes after the Bulls get their very first win of the year, a 115-107 victory over the Washington Wizards. It was a game between two teams that entered winless. It was the first game in a two-game series between the Bulls and the Wizards, and the Bulls played a pretty good game. Zach LaVine goes off for 23 points, a team high. Kobe White, also a solid night, 18 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. Bulls got some really impressive performances from the veterans on their bench. We'll talk about them more later. But Jason, Bulls finally get a dub. We didn't know when it would come. It looked like it could have got really ugly just looking at the schedule if the Bulls didn't win one of these two games against Washington. This comes on the heels of the Bulls getting blown out by the Pacers in the second game of the year and losing just an absolute heartbreaker to the Golden State Warriors. We'll get into that more. That was a game the Bulls very easily could have won. I think it says more about the Warriors than the Bulls, to be honest, because the Warriors are just a disaster right now, absolutely on par with the Bulls. But, you know, credit the Bulls for playing better against the Warriors and credit the Bulls for actually beating a pretty talented Wizards team tonight. To get the first win of the Billy Donovan era and the first win of the Arturas Karnišovas era.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Going back to that Pacers game, they started that game a bit better, and then they just like had a couple really long droughts, and they were facing a 30-point deficit. I think the Pacers had something like an 18-0 run, and it got just out of hand again. Just another complete blowout game But yeah, the Warriors game, they absolutely should have won. That was a disappointing game. It was a hilariously fun, bad game between two teams that just did not play well at all. I guess both teams hit a lot of, ended up hitting a lot of three-pointers, but just a lot of dumb stuff. And obviously, the Bulls had that game in control multiple times, but the 24 turnovers were ugly, and then they give up the lead late. Damian Lee hits that three-pointer in the final seconds. Yes, it should not have counted because of the last two-minute report said it should have been a five-second call. There should have been a moving screen call with Kevon Looney, whatever. I'm not worried about that. The Bulls should not have been positioned to blow that game. They did, and they lost to also a struggling Warriors team. Although the Warriors did win the night as well, they were playing a Pistons team who was probably worse than any of these teams, whether it's the Bulls, Wizards, or Warriors. But yeah, they come out tonight against the Wizards, and it was another ugly game in the first half. Another game where you can tell why these teams were both 0-3. There were a lot of there were some air balls. There was Raul Nito bricking every wide open three in sight. The Bulls couldn't hit a shot in the paint. I think they hit like 8 threes in the first half, then like couldn't make anything inside the arc. So it was only a 6-point game at halftime. And then the Wizards, they come out, they score the first 4 points of the third quarter, and you're like, oh, here we go again. Like, are the Bulls about to totally collapse here in the third quarter, the second half, whatever. And then Patrick Williams, who had really struggled to that point to start the game, wasn't really close on a few of his jumpers, really just hadn't done anything. He scores 3 early baskets in the third quarter to kind of just stem the tide, and the Bulls just went from there. He had a 3-pointer, his big high arcing 3-pointer that he likes to shoot. He had one of those, his like patented like mid-range push shot that he gets so much elevation on that shot, it's absolutely crazy. And then he had a ridiculous putback tip-in right over Denny Avdija, the fellow rookie, and that kind of gave the Bulls some separation, and then they just kept going from there. They did not turn the ball over as much in this game. They did start to get sloppy in the fourth quarter, but when they did, at that point, they had already gone up by 19 points. They used the 9-0 run to start the fourth quarter to kind of put the Wizards away, and the Wizards were absolutely atrocious in this game. I mentioned just a lot of bricks. They had over 20 turnovers. I know Russ hit another triple-double, but I mean, his lack of shooting just kills that offense. Beal had 29 points, but he wasn't that good, and the Bulls, they stepped on their throat. You mentioned the stuff about the veterans. We saw Tomas Satoransky, 10 points in the fourth quarter. Otto Porter Jr. Had 14 points in the first half to kind of keep the Bulls afloat when their offense was struggling. Garrett Temple played 29 minutes and had 12 points and was a team high, I think, plus 14. So, yeah, just having those veterans there to give the Bulls just some better, more steady options there off the bench, definitely helping matters in this game and some of the other games. I know that's been kind of hit or miss with guys like Temple and Sato, struggled last game with some turnovers, but they all played well tonight. I know it was, again, a Wizards team that is struggling a lot. I said they're 0-4 with Russ and Beal now. I know Russ missed last game, but that's a brutal start. I'm very curious to see how long Scott Brooks stays. If they keep struggling like this, like they just look lethargic and sloppy. You'd think 0-3 with a bad Bulls team coming in, the Wizards would play with better effort, and they didn't. The Bulls were kind of they were aggressive from the start. They were getting to the line. Lauri Markkanen had to leave this game again with that calf injury he had, but he was really aggressive to start the game. His line's not great in his 19 minutes. He was only 3 of 8, but he was going right at Davis Bertans, putting the ball on the floor, trying to take advantage of mismatches. And the Bulls kind of did that all game. They were aggressive attacking the basket. They took 32 free throws. They made 15 threes. And then they shut down any possible Wizards comeback attempt in the fourth quarter instead of totally melting down. They did turn the ball over a bit. They shot 65% in the fourth quarter. So just overall, a pretty solid effort. Not spotless, but we'll take what we can get at this point, especially after those first 3 games. And it's nice to get that first win in the Billy Donovan era.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of different ways we could branch off in this episode because we haven't talked about the Bulls since that opening night disaster against the Hawks. But I want to start with Zach and Kobe because Zach and Kobe were just really good in this win against the Wizards. The final line, Zach 23 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds on 6 of 15 shooting from the field, 3 of 7 shooting from 3-point range, 8 of 9 from the foul line. Kobe was 6 of 14 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3, 4-4 from the foul line, finishes with 18 points, 6 assists, 5 rebounds. So I think like when the Bulls are going to win, sort of this is sort of a good baseline of how Zach and Kobe need to perform, right? Like the Bulls on most nights are going to be out-talented by the opposition. You would think a Wizards team starting Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal in the backcourt and having Davis Bertans, who's one of the more underrated scorers in the league, that Washington team should have more talent than the Bulls. But Zach and Kobe were the guys who kind of carried the Bulls to the win in a lot of ways in this one. Obviously, they had a lot of support from the veterans, especially on the bench. And I really don't think the Bulls win this game without the contributions from Satoransky, from Otto, and from Garrett Temple, all who look great. We'll get to those guys later. But just in terms of Zach and Kobe, I think like they pretty much played in control this game. Both of them looked for their own offense, but were also still like willing passers in a lot of ways. Both had six assists. And I think that, you know, when the Bulls are going to win, you're going to need these two guys rushing up and down the court, getting a lot of threes. I think the fact that Zach was getting to the foul line tonight, making 8 and 9, was really big. And I'm just curious, Jason, like, you know, what do you think of the Zach Kobe pairing, you know, after the first start of the first few games of the season? And what did you make of their effort tonight?
Yeah, I mean, in general, it's been a rough go of it. We know Zach's gonna get his points. Kobe has definitely been very up and down. He had that awful first game, and he's been a bit better lately. And obviously, tonight they definitely were much better. I think the 5 turnovers is a huge factor. Again, looking back at that Warriors game, they lost that game because they turned the ball over 24 times. They shot the ball pretty well. They shot it well from three. They shot it well overall. You turn the ball over 24 times against a bad defense. They were getting like stymied by some traps and presses. And I think Zach might have had 6 or 7 turnovers last game. I think Kobe had. Like, when those guys are turning the ball over and just like not like forgetting to play basketball, there have been stretches where they just have horrible turnovers, horrible passing, and that was just not a problem tonight. They both, like you mentioned, they were both more in control, had some nice drive and kicks. Again, they only combined for 5 turnovers. So when you have that assist to turnover ratio of 12-5, I mean, that just looks much better. Obviously, you need to hit shots to pick up assists, but just in general, just making nice cross-court passes, making mostly the right reads, and again, just not turning the ball over is just huge, because that has been a big problem in the preseason. It was a problem to start the season in some of these games. Just horrible unforced errors and turnovers has killed them. In this game, they did not. And when you do that and you take care of the ball, we know Zach and Kobe can score, and if they can make the right reads and value the basketball, that will help the Bulls offense a lot. And tonight they were much better against, Beal and Westbrook are obviously a very talented duo. At this point, they're not the best defensive duo, I would say. So it's not like they were facing the hardest defensive backcourt, the defensive team in general, just because the Wizards are a bad defensive team. But yeah. I mean, that first game of the year was against the Hawks, who are not going to be good defensively, against Trae Young. Kobe White was a disaster that game. So like, at least, Even against this competition, it was nice to see Zach and Kobe just both play well together and both play well scoring for themselves and distributing to others.
Yeah, I mean, 3 other guys finished in double-digit shot attempts. That's a good sign. When the Bulls played the Warriors, Zach and Kobe also both had like pretty good games in that one. Zach had 33, Kobe had 20. They combined to take 42 shots in that game, though. And in this one, they combined to take 29. So I felt like more people were getting involved, but they were still driving the offense. You're absolutely right that the Wizards are a bad defense. And man, the Wizards just look like
bad.
A disaster. Like I don't know. I kind of thought that the Wizards would be decent this season just because Westbrook was going to have a lot of spacing. But the early results of this team are pretty discouraging. I want to mention Denny. Like, I'm really glad the Bulls didn't take Denny. I think Pat Will looks a lot better than Denny to this point. Now, who knows? Obviously, it's very early into
Denny
career.
Looks fine. I just
he
don't
looks
know.
Fine, but
I just don't know if he'll do anything besides like he hit a few open threes. But I mean, just looking at the box, I mean, I guess Pat Will didn't do that much else besides his baskets. But like, Denny did have 4 assists. Like, I don't know. He looked fine. It just seems like Pat Will just projects like he can do more as time goes on, especially with defensively and stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so let's talk about Pat Will.
Before we talk about Pat Will and the rest of this game, let's take a quick break. I'll hear from our sponsors, Indeed and BetOnline. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, and you can pause your account at any time. There are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. You can contact them the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. 73% of online job seekers in the U.S. are visiting Indeed each month, according to ComScore total visits. So it's clear that Indeed can help you get the quality hire you need. That's why more than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed for hiring. So right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job posts, which means more quality candidates will see it and fast. So try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. This offer is valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. The NBA is back in action, and football is heading into the playoffs. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals, the team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season-opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. So head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use that promo code BlueWire at BetOnline.ag. That's Blue Wire, all one word. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. We are back. Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. We are talking about the Bulls finally getting on the board with a victory. They're now 1-3 on the season. First win of the Billy Donovan era with their 115-107 win over the Washington Wizards on Tuesday night. We were going to talk about rookie Patrick Williams. I kind of talked about earlier, just kind of the quick recap of this game, how he helped stem the tide in the third quarter with a string of plays as the Wizards had seemed like were possibly going to make a little run to possibly take the lead in that third quarter. Patrick Williams had some big plays after being quiet. So I guess what did you like about Patrick Williams' game today and just what you've seen so far this season and his young career so far?
Yeah, I think he looked good defensively today. That's just one thing that jumps out about him. Like, you know, that was a worry, I guess, going into his NBA career is like, where would he play defensively? Did you want him more on the perimeter as a wing? Did you want him closer to the basket to protect the rim a little bit? I think he's done pretty well hanging on the perimeter. But what really impresses me is just how quickly he processes everything. Like his ability to already make the right rotations and make them on time is just something that like, yes, he's young, but it's sort of just something you're born with, I feel like. Like it's hard to teach being able to process the game, read the game in real time, and to instinctively react. And there were several possessions where Pat Will was doing that defensively, being able to, you know, move from assignment, to slide over to cover his spots as a help defender. So I thought he looked really good there. And that shows up offensively, too. So he hit three attempts from three-point range tonight. Really decisive shooter and decisive player in general. I think like when he gets the ball, he's not like thinking about the shot the way Wendell Carter is. When Wendell Carter gets the ball at the top of the key for an open three, Pat just goes for it. He does not hesitate on his shots.
No record scratching.
I think his shot looks good. Like I was worried it was a little slow of a three-point release coming into the league. I haven't really noticed that at the start of his pro career. I think his shot has looked pretty quick. It's looked solid thus far. So it was nice to see him knock down a couple shots today. And then we talked a little bit about Denny, but he had the tip over Denny that was just absolutely phenomenal. I compared it to Randy Moss on Twitter when I saw it. It just sort of like stopped me in my tracks. Pat just skied over Denny and got the tip. Really athletic play. If you go to Bloggable, Jason wrote the recap. He put that clip in his recap, so check that out. But I thought Pat was really impressive in this game and, you know, maybe his best game so far.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even know how he made that. Like, when that play happened in real time, I was like, how the hell did that shot go in? Like, that touch to, like, go over Denny and just, like, push that off the glass, like, perfectly into the basket was absolutely incredible. Yeah, definitely one of his better games. Like, if you look at his overall box score, like, obviously not super impressive. It was 12 points, 5 of 10. You mentioned the 2 of 3 from 3. That's really nice. Did have 2 assists. He didn't really do much rebounding, like 3 fouls, whatever. He only played 20 minutes. They gave a lot of minutes to Garrett Temple. I think Billy Donovan might be a big fan of Garrett Temple. I think he was going to close with them last game against the Warriors too, just to have that stable veteran presence in there, which I understand. I'm just looking back at some of other Pat's box scores. Like again, he's not going to put up big numbers. But he did have 16 in that first game, and he's a bit quiet in the last couple games. He did have 3 blocks in the Warriors game. That kind of speaks to the defense. That Pacers game was ugly for everybody. 9 points, 2 of 6 shooting, 4 turnovers. I mean, it's the rookie stuff. But the flashes that we have seen from Patrick Williams so far, to some of the little plays and you mentioned, I think the stuff, how he, like the, I mentioned the record scratching. You mentioned how he makes quick decisions again, as we like to do. Shout out Stefano. I believe he tweeted about how, yeah, here it is. He says, another small thing that I really like about Patrick Williams, he plays 0.5 basketball. You don't see him holding it forever, stalling up possessions. He decides to pass, dribble, or shoot within 0.5 seconds of catching the ball. And it's a great trait to have. And that's definitely true. Like, I mentioned the record scratching. That's like when someone passes out to a guy and then he just like catches the ball and hesitates. And like, instead of either taking the shot, putting the ball on the floor, that's not Patrick Williamson that done that. He had a nice a drive and kick to, I can't remember if it was Kobe or Sed, or he had a really nice drive and kick assist in the fourth quarter to help as the Bulls were holding off the Wizards, kind of making a semi little run in that fourth quarter. Just the decision making has been mostly solid. Again, he's not putting up huge numbers. I don't think he's ever going to put up huge numbers this season. I think the Bulls will look to be getting spreading the offense around as they did today. But overall, have to like what you see out of Patrick Williams so far, for sure.
Yeah, he's the second youngest player in the league, besides for Pukuševski and OKC. So I think Pat looks like he belongs. I think it doesn't look like scared of the moment the way that Carter has at times. He is just generally a pretty decisive player, I think, like Stefan noted and you did right there. So thought Pat looked good. Should we talk about Lowry? Because Lowry had the injury today. So Lowry only played 19 minutes. He did not finish the game. It's a calf injury. What has Billy Donovan said about Lowry thus far? And, I guess he's had a pretty interesting start to the season, Jason, because he entered this game averaging 20 points on like 45% three-point shooting, but the Bulls were 0-3. Once again, we're having this discussion over how impactful is Lowry, but normally he doesn't even put up numbers this good. So at least he was putting up some numbers coming into this game. It'll be pretty interesting to see how the Bulls are without him if he's out for a while.
Yeah, it looks like the update after the game was they have to see how it was. He suffered this calf injury against the Warriors. He did not finish that game. And then he tried to play today. He was questionable, and he plays. He was pretty aggressive to start this game. And then he tried to come out in the out of halftime. And then I think a couple minutes into that third quarter, he had to come out. He just was not feeling comfortable. This sure seems like a situation where, like, if he tried to play on it today and he couldn't finish, like, he probably should take at least they have a back-to-back coming up. Like, I can't imagine he plays both games of that back-to-back. Maybe he sits out Thursday and then tries to play the next game against – I think they play the Bucks, I think, the next night on New Year's Day. That would seem to make sense unless he misses both games. We'll see how serious it is. He'll obviously get it checked out. I think overall you have to like at least Lowry's mindset and the way he's playing and the way they're trying to use him. You mentioned he is shooting well from three. Hitting open threes is like the first step. That's like the bare minimum we want him to do. And he has done that so far. Shooting it really well from three. They've run some really nice plays. I think they ran an ATO today that they also ran the other day against the Warriors to get Lowry wide open three after a timeout and hit it. We've talked about how his stroke looks good all the time. And it's just been like baffling that he hasn't shot better from three. He has shot really well so far. Even his misses, most of his misses have been in and out or at least really close. Well, that haven't been the case before. But then besides the three-point shooting, I mentioned the aggressiveness, going to the basket, attacking worse defenders, attacking mismatches. They've been getting switches. That we saw it happen against the Warriors where if they would switch and a smaller guy would get on him, they'd try to pound it into Lowry and he would be aggressive going up with it. And that happened again today. He did miss a few bunnies around the rim. That's why he was only 3 of 8 from the field. But I think the mindset in general has been much better. Even with him playing well, you mentioned like the impact, like again today in 19 minutes, no assists, no steals, no blocks. He's not really a rim protector. They have been running a lot of lineups with him at center. I feel like Wendell and Lowry have had their best time on the court when they've been separate, when they've either had Wendell alone at center and they've been playing like smaller lineups where they go to the Lowry lineup at center. I mean, maybe that truly is the best way for them because the Bulls starting lineup together has just not been very good in general. Maybe it is better if Lowry or Wendell split up, and maybe that is just kind of a sign that, again, it is early, but maybe that they just won't be a long-term duo. I don't know, but it does seem like that Lowry at center has at least opened up things for him offensively, so at least I think they're using him right, and he has mostly taken advantage of that to start the season. So I guess you really can't you can't complain about that. We'll see about this injury, though. So it'll be really unfortunate if he now has another nagging injury. He has not been able to stay healthy in his career. But, I mean, overall, I don't think we can really complain about how Lowry is playing and how he's being used, at least offensively. Defensively is another story. He did have some moments today switching on to Bradley Beal where he kind of cut him off on a few drives, so that was nice. But, again, he's never really going to be a plus rim protector. He's just not that athletic, not that long, not just can't really cover ground and like make those kind of plays under the rim and block shots. But at least offensively, you really can't complain about how he's played so far. I guess other than like he kind of sometimes disappears in the second half, but that might be more of a function of the guard play.
Yeah, like I think that you can get away with him maybe at the five if you focus the rest of the lineup on defense. Like you're going to need Otto in there, you're going to need Temple in there, you're going to need Sato in there, I think, when you go to Lowry at the five. Because like you said, he's just not a plus rebounder or a plus rim protector, so you need to insulate him as much as you can. I think it's a good lineup to go to as like a changeup. Just to keep the other team on their feet. I think it's absolutely the best spot for Markkanen offensively, but it's like, can you actually win those minutes with him at the five because he is so poor defensively? It's kind of the question that has hung over his entire career since he's entered the league. They need to just keep him shooting well and get him as many attempts as possible. But I got to say, I'm pretty excited to see, you know, what the lineup looks like if Otto, I would assume, would start in place of Markkanen, if Markkanen's out. I like the two big wings look for the Bulls. That's really fun with Pat Will and with Otto. Of course, it'll hurt the Bulls bench a little bit, mess up their rotations a bit. But Otto's already playing starters minutes, right? He's playing 30. He played 30 minutes tonight, and he's been like right around like high 20s for most of the games this year, mid 20s. So I think that, you know, if Markkanen is going to miss time, it's going to show you a Bulls lineup that will be more dynamic than anything we've seen in recent years with two big wings. And I still think Otto's like one of the better players on the team. I don't think he's been quite as good as I expected him to be when they first acquired him. Part of that is because it looks like he's out of shape. And I saw a tweet today that said Otto Porter is listed at 198 pounds. As I pull up ESPN, he's actually listed at 228, which still, that feels probably appropriate, right? Like, I would guess Otto's about 230.
I mean, he came into the league super, super skinny, I feel like. I feel like he was a string bean.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not remembering right, but.
No, you are. Yeah. You're definitely right. I don't know where that person from Twitter was getting that Otto 198 measurement, but yeah, Otto's huge, right? He's definitely classic modern day four, just in terms of like what you want out of a four. He's just like a big wing. He's going to give you like not a ton of dribble creation, but mostly a catch and shoot guy. And he's big enough to defend and to rebound and to do all that. So I'm excited for Otto entering the starting lineup. And, you know, you just wonder how Donovan's rotations are going to adjust going forward or if they are going to adjust. So
I would also mention that I think Thad Young is available. I believe he was available tonight. He did not play tonight, but I think he made himself available. Like he's healthy enough now. He had that leg infection. I do not think that I'm curious. I don't think Billy would start unless he would. I don't know. Like maybe he really likes Otto off the bench in that type of role. Maybe he would start Thad. I mean, Thad is almost like a big wing at this point. He's like 6'8", 6'9", and just like a hoss. I know he doesn't provide the shooting that Otto does, but I mean, maybe he would just go to that. I feel like it would be nice. It might be better to get Otto's shooting and offensive space the floor a bit more than having Patrick Williams and Thaddeus Young. Or maybe you just have those two guys. I don't know. Like, so maybe he really likes that off the bench or Otto off the bench. It also might depend on, I don't know how much, like, obviously I don't know if Thad's ready to play big minutes, or maybe you start him and play him in like a Bogans role or something. I'm not sure, but I guess it will be interesting to see if Billy plays Thad at all, or I guess just in general, if how Thad figures into this rotation, even when Lowry's healthy, when he's not healthy. I don't know. He feels like an odd man out at this point. I feel like that's why we thought they should have traded him. But especially with Lowry out now, it'll be interesting to see what Billy goes with.
Yeah, so I think like what was overwhelmingly obvious, or what has been obvious about the start of this season, is like the Bulls' five-man starting lineup, which Kevin Payduck pointed this out, is actually younger than the lineup Wisconsin is starting this year. Wisconsin is like a ridiculously old team for the Big Ten, and Patrick Williams would be their youngest starter by like 2 or 3 years on Wisconsin. So Wisconsin's starting lineup is actually older than the Bulls. I think there's no doubt that if the Bulls ride those starters for the majority of the year, like, they're just going to get crushed. The only way that they have any semblance of hope to win some games is for the veterans to stabilize the team. And it's the three guys we mentioned plus Thad. So, Jason, from your perspective, like, do you want to see the Bulls put those veterans into the starting lineup, or let's just say play them even more significant minutes than they've played thus far at the expense of continuing to, you know, play Kobe 35 minutes or Wendell or Lowry 30 plus minutes? Or do you want the Bulls to stick with the core first for development, but also just because, like, if they are going to lose the most games possible, like, that would probably be a good route for, you know, the draft pick, future assets. So to me, that's like sort of a question right now with the team is, like, is it worth it to play the veterans? I would just say real quick, like, even though I do think the team's a lot better with as much Porter, Temple, and Satoransky as possible, like, also, like, those guys aren't that good, and you're still going to be at a massive talent disadvantage against the majority of teams. So I think, like, in the beginning of the year, you might as well play those guys a lot. It makes things easier, I think, on the young core. Like, when Satoransky's in there, I think, like, Wendell just looks better. I think Markkanen and Pat Will are just, like, getting more easy scoring opportunities when you don't fully have to rely on Zach and Kobe to create all the offense off the bounce. So I would like to see more Satoransky and Temple and Porter and, like, as many veteran minutes as you can get out of those guys, and they need to stay healthy, otherwise the losses are going to stockpile up real quick. But I would say play those guys because it's a long season. You can always flip those guys at the trade deadline if they look appealing enough to some other team who wants to make a postseason push, and you're going to have, like, you know, the entire period post trade deadline to improve your draft position, let's say. So I don't know, that's kind of where I'm at right now. I would like to see them get together as many veteran minutes as possible, because I think that, you know, that's probably the best way to make Wendell's life easier, Lowry's life easier, Zach and Kobe. So curious what you think about that situation.
I mean, if you look at the rotation today, obviously with Lowry getting hurt, he only played 19 minutes. That gave a few more minutes to Otto, probably a few more minutes to Temple. Like, I don't want Garrett Temple playing 30 minutes a game. I mean, Otto, that's probably fine. We figured thought Otto would play that much anyways as a starter, and he's not starting. But I go off the bench, if Otto's playing 25 to 30 minutes, I'm generally fine with that. Like I said, Garrett Temple, 30 minutes a game. Probably don't really want to see that much. But, like, if him and Sato are playing 20 minutes a game, and that if that means Patrick Williams is playing 20, 25 minutes a game, I mean, I think that's generally fine. I mean, tonight, LaVine and Kobe both played, 37, 38 minutes. Carter played 34 minutes. Billy did go to Gafford once Lowry was hurt, and he had three fouls in 7 minutes. I don't know how much he'll be in the rotation. Hutch played 6 minutes, but he was terrible, missing layups. And he did play well last game against the Warriors, did some nice things off the bench. But I think Hutch should be a 10th guy. Him and, like, Denzel, like, maybe situation-based. I feel like the actual rotation should be basically what they have, the starting lineup, Porter, and then off the bench you have Otto, Temple, Sato, Thad once he's ready to go. And then maybe your occasional Hutch, Denzel, Gafford minutes, maybe Arch if you really need the point guard stuff, like a steady hand. But again, those are, like, in case of emergency type guys. I think you have a top nine of your starters, and then your four veterans off the bench, I think, makes sense.
Yeah, I think that sounds about right. I would still be fine with moving Kobe to the bench. Like, if this year does get really ugly, I think it's fine having Kobe in a bench role, letting everyone else get a little bit more confidence with Satoransky running the show. So I think it's going to have to be something they think about. And yeah, I still think there's a pretty decent chance that, like, Otto is the guy who impacts winning the most on the team out of anyone. I don't know if he's necessarily the best player, the most valuable player on the team, but he's definitely up there. I would love if they could flip him at the trade deadline. I think, you know, whatever the Bulls can do to improve the asset base this year is, like, one of the most important things. So I wouldn't mind featuring the veterans a little bit more. Yes, you will win a few more games, but ultimately I don't think they're that good that it's going to, like, take them out of top pick territory.
I don't think this should be a tank year. Like, I know, like, these first losing the first two games like they did, and then losing to the Warriors, like, you're obviously already thinking, like, oh, like, tank for the bottom. Like, with the way the draft, the lottery is set up, and I think just with this season, with I don't think you should be like, we should be necessarily like rooting for like a hardcore tank. I think it might just have, it might just happen naturally. Because again, like they win their first game tonight. It's against a terrible Wizards team. Like we'll see what, like this schedule is about to get real, real tough here in January. Like unless they really, really play a lot better against these good teams, like they're probably going to lose a lot of games and probably will have naturally a decent draft position. But right. I think they should be trying to win. Like, I don't want them to like, I don't want them to be trying to tank the season from the very start. Obviously, if it goes really, really bad, like they really struggle in January and they're in a deep hole and it's just like, and you get whatever into the second half of the season, maybe you do start playing for draft position. I don't think they should be trying to like tank the season from the start. Like a team, I guess I don't even know if anybody's really trying to do that. You could argue the Pistons probably are, maybe the Thunder, but I don't think the Bulls in at this point should be like really trying to like lose games this season. I think they should be trying to win. I just don't know if they probably won't win that much just because, I mean, we saw what happened when they played two playoff teams or two just good teams. They got their ass beat and they lost to a Warriors team that played like crap. So they'll probably lose a lot anyways, but I think they should definitely be trying to run. They should be trying to develop their core, but while also supplementing them with the veterans and trying to win games. And they need to learn how to win at some point. Like this is, I know we've talked about how it's not necessarily year four of the rebuild. It's almost like year one or year zero since it's a new regime or whatever. But like, still, like at some point, like they need to build some habits. They need to learn how to win some games, even if they don't win a lot. Like I would like to see, I want to see them at least try.
For sure. Anything else you want to hit on before we wrap this up?
I think that's basically it. Again, we got the Bulls have one more game of 2020. It has certainly been an interesting 2020. The Bulls haven't actually played that much, obviously, with the whole the pandemic. The season last season was horrible and ended in March. And then there was a long time off. They fired Jim Boylan. They hire a new front office. And now we have a new season where they play a couple games. And now we're going into 2021. And again, kind of as I said, like this season has not gotten off to the best start. Even with this win tonight, they do not look like a team that's really going to threaten that much. Again, maybe we'll see how the Eastern Conference shakes out. The start of the season has been pretty crazy so far with some of the results. Some crazy blowouts. We saw the Knicks blow out the Bucks. We saw the Cavs start 3-0. I know the Knicks beat the Cavs tonight. Some crazy things around the NBA so far. We'll see how stuff kind of evens out as the time goes along, but with 2021 coming up, hopefully at least points the Bulls in a better direction. Again, as we just kind of mentioned, we don't think they're going to win a lot of games, but if they can at least be entertaining and play better basketball, even if that results in losses, if they can, whether it's we see Patrick Williams' development, whether that's building trade value for guys, even to build that asset base, as you mentioned, it would just be nice to see the Bulls take a step forward in terms of asset base, in terms of actual development, and pick some type of direction. I hope 2021 is a season where we see this new front office really pick a direction with this core, and whether that's blowing it up, whether that's moving forward with this, if they actually do better than we expect. I hope that we just see some, I guess, changes for the better, depending on what that exactly is. We don't know, but looking forward to a better 2021 than 2020 was. 2020 has been mostly shitty just in general. Pandemic, obviously, but for the Chicago Bulls, it was also last season was terrible. Now we have this fresh start with this new regime, and hopefully changes will be coming for the better. We'll see. I know the season hasn't gotten off the best start. Do you have any final thoughts here as we wrap it up?
Final thoughts. Even though I was a lot more pessimistic than most people I talked to about the Bulls this season, I think, you know, in general, what we've seen from the first four games, even though they won tonight, still they look like one of the worst teams in the league, I think, for sure. It's still nice to have the Bulls back. Like, I've enjoyed watching the games. I'm still rooting for the players on the team. Maybe it's just because we did this podcast for 9 months without a game, but it's nice to finally have some games to talk about. And we're going to have a bunch coming up. The Bulls play a stretch of three games in 4 days. So they have Washington on Thursday again, at the Bucks on Friday, and then Sunday versus the Mavs at home. So the games are going to be coming fast and furious now as they try to squeeze in the 72-game schedule. I mean, the biggest thing is just keeping everyone safe from COVID, because there's still just so many deaths every single day from the virus. So that is, you know, extremely unfortunate backdrop to all this. But in terms of the basketball, I think it's good to have the Bulls back, just so that we finally have some new stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I will say, like, I feel like I like most of the guys on this team. Like, I'm definitely rooting for them. Like, there's always, I feel like there's usually guys on like past Bulls teams, right? I just like can't stand them. And like, I like, I don't want to say like want them to do bad, but just like sometimes it annoys me when they do well. Like I feel like this team is a pretty likable bunch of guys. Whether they're actually good, again, like you said, it doesn't seem like as a group they're going to be that good and they're going to lose a lot of games. But like I'm rooting for all these guys, and it is nice to see them back in the court again. I guess one final thought: we didn't really talk about Wendell that much today. He has looked much better the last two games, so that's at least nice to see after those first two were obviously just atrocious after a bad preseason. So maybe he's starting to figure it out again. He had another double-double today, second straight, so that's nice. Hopefully he can carry that over into the new year, 2021, coming up in a couple days. So that's it here for us at Cash Considerations, Chicago Bulls podcast. As always, shout out to the Blue Wire Network. As we mentioned at the top, Blue Wire Hustle, check that out. We will have a description with more information about that in our for this podcast in the box, in the info box. Shout out to our other sponsors, Indeed and Bet Online. And we have obviously so many great podcasts across the Blue Wire Network. We got with NBA back, so many good pods, NBA pods. We got NFL playoffs coming up. We have NFL pods as well. So that's fun. And so I guess, again, that's basically a wrap for 2020 here at Cash Considerations. As always, rate and review us. Give us feedback. You know where to find us on Twitter. Wherever you listen to your podcasts, we're on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, all those fun places. So that's a wrap for 2020. Let's look ahead for 2021. Happy New Year, everybody. And I'm hoping the Bulls can bring us at least some joy in 2021, because I know the Cubs are already ruining me. The Bears will probably stick a dagger in us against the Packers this weekend, but we'll see. So again, Happy New Year, everybody, and take it easy. We'll talk to you guys next time.